That was in case somebody was going to sleep, I think. Remember, Mr. Shivas was in a meeting in Niagara Falls, and it was a hot Sunday afternoon, and my uncle was in the meeting, and he called him my name, and he said, would you mind opening the window? He said, there's somebody going to sleep in here. And of course, he woke up in a hurry and opened the window, and after a while, he began to catch on. So maybe the Lord will help us to stay awake. Hebrews chapter 11. My wife and I have been enjoying just reading through the book of Hebrews and just reading through this chapter 11 yesterday, I think it was, and this is fresh in my mind. And I trust the Lord will help us to get its context. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Now, chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. 1 Peter, please. Chapter 2. And verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. Submit yourselves, verse 13. Verse 21, for even here unto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. But when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were as sheep going astray, and are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 4. Chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, Even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Final reading in Revelation chapter 22. Verse 3. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Trust God will bless to us the reading of his good word, along that which we have listened to already. Now I'd like to draw your attention to the passages in these that we've read and the subject matter of the strangers and pilgrims. Hebrews chapter 11 is a beautiful chapter. And in this chapter, we are faced with men and women who are strangers and pilgrims, and they're headed home. Now, a stranger is one who is away from home, and a pilgrim is one that's going home. So precious it is as we think of our position here as pictured here in Hebrews chapter 11. Now, I'd like you to notice some of the Old Testament saints that were pilgrims and strangers. Then I'd like you to notice the Lord Jesus himself, who was a pilgrim and a stranger. Then I'd like you to notice the New Testament saints who are called pilgrims and strangers in 1 Peter chapter 2. And then I'd like you to notice the arrival at home of pilgrims and strangers. Thank God we're going home. And then I'd like you to notice when we are at home, what we're going to be occupied with, the occupation of pilgrims and strangers. We are going to be occupied with him. Now, what an encouragement it is in the reading of Hebrews chapter 11, as these saints, pilgrims and strangers, they were looking forward to being at home. We've read, these all died in faith, not having yet received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and they embraced them, and they really got a hold of this, that they were strangers and pilgrims in the land of their pilgrimage. They were just passing through. Now, thank God for all that are here today. We see a cross number in our gathering of young and old, and thank God for the young that are among us, and the middle age, as we've been hearing, and the older ones that are here. And God would have a word for us all. And in chapter 11 of Hebrews, we see this cross-section of young and old. These all having died in faith. Young, middle-aged, and older people got a hold of this, that God's word was true. In each one of these characters that you read of in Hebrews chapter 11, they got a hold of a word from God. That's what faith is. Faith rests upon God and his word. And these died in faith. They were looking forward to the day when the fulfillment of God's promises would be fulfilled. I think of a young Joseph. Read of Joseph here in his old age, a man of faith. I think of a young Joseph that was taken, and you know the story, in Potiphar's house. But because of his fear of God, he would not bow himself to do that great evil in the sight of the Lord. And so he paid dearly for it. He was a stranger away from home. And he recognized this, I'm accountable to God. And so what an encouragement it is to see among us young men and women, we trust that you're going to be like Joseph in this respect, as you will keep yourself pure and clean because you belong to him. We think of young men like the Hebrew youths in Daniel chapter 1 and Daniel himself. We read of these who quenched the violence of the fire and quenched the mouths of the lions. What was their secret? Daniel was a man away from home, taken captive in the land of Babylon. And the young men that were with them. But they purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves with the king's meat. It meant something to them. You see, they were away from home. But the presence of the Lord in their lives was so precious. The Lord was looking down. And they put God to the test. And God was true to his word. You see, these young men now, they purposed in their heart. My heart goes out to the young among us, and we trust that like these, you're going to recognize you're a pilgrim and a stranger here, and you're just passing through, that you'll purpose in your heart, that you won't defile yourself with that which is all around us, because you're passing through. We're going to a better land by sin undefiled. Thank God we're just passing through. May the Lord help us to see ourselves in the light of this passage, as pilgrims and strangers, these just were passing through. We think of middle-aged, and we think of older ones here in Hebrews chapter 11. Read the chapter yourself. I'm sure you've all enjoyed it. And you can see the very pathos of their life was this. Faith, the end of it that's in view. These all died in faith. They had the promises of God. And yet, they were looking forward to the time when it was going to be fulfilled. And thus, they passed through. Thank God there was a young Samuel, and he heard the voice of God speaking to him. Samuel died in faith. We think of these all having died in faith. We think of Abraham offering up his own son, accounting that God was faithful, that had given him his son, and he was able to give him back again. And he died in faith, looking forward to the fulfillment of God's promises. God will provide himself a lamb. Thank God for the great ongoing purposes in their life was to look for the end of the journey. It was a pilgrim passing through. They were going home. And so these Old Testament saints, they lived their lives in view of a yet future coming kingdom. Thank God I'm going to see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and these godly men and women of the past, as in a day to come, they'll be able to tell us just like ourselves. We were just passing through. We had our eye on something that was far better than what was around us. And that was God and his word. He was going to fulfill all that he had spoken to us. And I'd like you to think of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ now in chapter 12. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. If there was ever a person that was a great example to us of one who was a stranger and a pilgrim, it's our blessed Savior. If he were here in body and could stand upon this platform and speak today, I'm sure he'd tell us the very same thing. I was a stranger. You remember, I came unto my own, and my own received me not. I was a stranger in this world. They didn't recognize who I was. All the miracles that I did, their eyes seemed to be blinded. And I was a stranger, and they took me to the place called Calvary, outside the city walls of Jerusalem. There they crucified me. I was a stranger, but I was going home. I was going to do the will of my God and the will of my Father. And here the Lord Jesus, with the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. He had this focus before Him. Calvary was something that He was going to pass through, and by the will of God He was going to accomplish the great work of redemption. And on the other side, He could see the blessing that was going to be His. He endured. And He saw what was beyond Calvary. And thus the Lord Jesus was a stranger. We often sing that hymn about the stranger of Galilee. How precious it is to think of the one passing through here that was a stranger. And he was a pilgrim. He was going home. Often spoke of home. Often spoke of my Father's house. And he was looking forward to that time when he was going to pass through Calvary and then sit down on the right hand of the throne of the Majesty on high. So if there ever was a great example of a pilgrim and a stranger, it was the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And so we have this great example in the Scriptures, Him that endured as seeing at the end the great object of His love and His faith and His confidence, as we've been hearing, was the time when He was going to land up in home. Now I'd like you to notice with me the pilgrims and strangers that are mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 2. That's our generation. That's New Testament pilgrims and strangers. As pilgrims and strangers, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And so we have here the subject of strangers that are called out of light, out of darkness into His marvelous light. These early Christians passing through times of suffering like we have never known, they were passing through times of difficulty, and they recognized this, that they were out of place down here. Now, young believer, you may try to find a place in this world, a niche for yourself, but remember this. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Don't expect the world to embrace you. Don't expect it to make a place for you, because we don't belong here. Hope we realize that. We're passing through. And so when, as young people, we are tempted to try and settle down and make friends with the ungodly, as we've been hearing, and occupy ourselves with things of the world and get buried in our job and our employment. In this world, they want you body, soul, and spirit for 24 hours of the day, if they can have you, to squeeze the life out of you and then throw you on the trash heap. Why? Because this world just wants you for what they can get out of you. And remember this, you're here not for the world, but for the sake of the Lord Jesus. He has bought you with a price. You're not your own. Therefore, glorify God in your spirit and your bodies, which are Christ's. And so it's a wonderful thing to be a stranger passing through this world and to be a pilgrim. And as we're passing through, we need to be very careful how we live. Our testimony affects others. Other people are watching. And so we need to be abstainers in every sense of the word, abstaining from that which would be contrary to the will of God. We need to be honest in every aspect of our life, straight up and down as believers. Honesty when it comes to our dealings with men. Honesty when it comes to financial matters. All this is part of the privilege of being a pilgrim and stranger as we're journeying home. And we need to submit ourselves to every ordinance of God, for every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake. And so when it comes to entering into opposition and times when others are joined to stand against the government and that type of thing, joining in activities against the government is standing. What are we going to do? Well, we just withdraw ourselves from that. We are not men and women of this world. Leave that to the world and its ways. We're pilgrims. We're passing through. And when it comes to obeying the powers that be, we obey the powers that be. When it comes to our taxes, you might have a lot of grumbling and complaining behind the scenes, just like we hear a lot of people. And the taxes are going up, and everything's going up and up. But listen, this is not our home. And so we pay our taxes and thank God for the country we're living in, and we keep our eye upon the goal we're leaving us soon behind. May the Lord preserve us in connection with our attitude of being grumblers and complainers in connection with this. And we're occupied with well-doing. You know, the neighbors all around you are looking at you, and maybe some little thing you can do for them that is going to be a work for God in their lives. They'll look forward to seeing you as watching Christ in you. And some little thing you can do for them that will open the way so that you might be able to have a word for God to them. And so we're to be occupied with well-doing. And as servants of God, here we're passing through. We're not the servants of men, but the servants of God, as we've been hearing. Service is a great thing for God. And this is a time when we're doing it, when we're passing through. It's all part of our business here as pilgrims and strangers. And then there's the subject of suffering. Suffering these saints passed through that Peter was writing to. And a lot of saints are suffering today. And we suffer because of what the Lord Jesus suffered for us. He left us as himself as our example. Who himself bare our sins in his own body on the tree. What an example of suffering this one was and is. And so when you think of suffering, and you think of all that the Lord Jesus passed through for you, then you're willing to take that suffering that may come your way as a stranger and pilgrim passing through. May the Lord help us to endure suffering, even wrongfully. In view of the day when we're going to see the Lord, after all, what does it matter? We're passing through. Suffering is part of the pilgrimage that we're passing through. May the Lord help us to look at suffering in its true light. Then I'd like you to think of our arrival home. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, we've been reading of that great moment when we're going to hear the shout and we're going to rise to meet him in the air. We shall meet him in the air. It was the moment of anticipation that these Thessalonian saints were looking forward to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10 reminds us that these men and women, they turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. The only place in the scripture where that word wait is really there, and it's the thought of awaiting. With great anticipation, these saints were awaiting the day and they would hear the shout. And so in each chapter of 1 Thessalonians, it's occupied with the coming of the Lord. And this chapter, chapter 4, is the great moment. And I would like you to think of this, could be even this afternoon while we sit here. What a moment this would be. What a meeting this would be. When, from the Word of God and enjoying it here, we would be caught away and to meet Him in the air. Wouldn't that be good? Do I hear any amens?
Amen.
To meet him. That would put an end to the pilgrim journey, wouldn't it? That would bring an end to our aches and sorrows and the difficulties we're passing through when we meet him. To meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Thank God this is what's in view for us as pilgrims. We're passing through. We're looking forward to that moment when we shall be at home. But we read in Revelation chapter 22 the occupation of the pilgrims and strangers. You see, they're not pilgrims and strangers anymore. They are at home. In Revelation chapter 5, his servants shall see his face, and they shall serve him. You know, heaven's going to be a wonderful place, but we're not going to be occupied with the place so much as the person. And to think that we are going to see his face. You often wonder what you're going to do and say when you see the Lord Jesus. Hymn writer has well put it, "How shall I then know thee amid those hosts above? What tokens true will show me the object of my love? Thy wounds, Lord Jesus, those deep, deep wounds will tell. The sacrifice that freed me from self and sin and hell. We shall see him, just like those in the upper room saw him. And he showed unto them his hands and his feet and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord." What is it going to be for us when we behold him who was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities? What a moment it'll be when we see him. I'm sure we'll fall at his feet. And that great redemption story we shall enjoy just like the saints there in Revelation chapter 5. Sing unto him that loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Our occupation is going to be forever with him. And thank God we're going to see his face. Why, that's going to make it all worthwhile, isn't it? To gaze upon that one who means so much to us here, and to serve him. What are we going to be doing in heaven? Serving him. That great occupation forever, thus to be occupied with the Lord Jesus down here, is just the beginning. We're learning about him here. We're getting to know a little bit about him here. And the more we read in the scripture, and the more we understand about him, is just helping us to enter into the great fullness that we're going to enjoy forever. And thus at home, as pilgrims and strangers, we're going to be at home with himself forever. May the Lord encourage us as we think of what a privilege it is while we're here to live a detached life as strangers passing through, because we're going to see him at the end of the journey. May God bless us.